Hey everyone, before this podcast begins, we want to tell you about some other arts-related podcasts you're going to love. They are The Conduit Music Podcast, Artsville, Gringo and the Man, Art World Horror Stories, and Not Real Art. On these action-packed podcasts, you'll hear experts talk about creativity, design, the music biz, the art world, visual art, American craft, Chicano art, street art, graffiti, and even stand-up comedy. So be sure to find and follow these great arts podcasts today. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Hello, this is Siri, and you're listening to my favorite podcast, Not Real Art. I live for this shit because it's totally lit.
Not Real Art, the podcast.
With your host, Man One.
And the other guy.
And the other guy.
That's it. So, by the way, did you know, Man One, that we are Siri. We're her favorite podcast.
I heard.
It's pretty rad.
I heard. Luckily, I have an iPhone, so when I get my messages in the morning, it tells me Siri's favorite podcasts, and she named ours the best one.
But let's unpack that for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, think about what that really means.
Yeah.
As Siri's favorite podcast, I mean, how many podcasts does she have access to?
Oh yeah, millions of podcasts.
And we're her favorite.
Yeah, and we just started. We're brand new.
This is our sixth episode.
Sixth episode, and we're already ranked number one on Siri's podcast list.
Dude, that's some shit.
I don't know where to go from.
I'll tell you what, if anybody can top that,
right.
step up.
Yeah. You know, Siri don't fuck around.
Dude, you know? She does not fuck around.
No.
I'm telling you.
She's legit.
Well, I'm proud.
Yeah, you know.
Don't want to piss her off, that's for sure.
No, we'll keep her happy, and you know, as long as we're on her good side.
Buy her flowers.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
You know. Thank you, Siri. Shout out Siri.
Siri. We love you, Siri. So, man. So you've been busy.
I'm always busy.
You have a thriving business. You're as the cliche about artists, right? You know, artists aren't good at business. You seem to be very good at business.
I don't know if I'm good at business. I just said I'm busy.
You just know you love money.
I just know that I love being busy, and I don't know. It's something that I don't know where I picked up along the way, but I loved art, and I decided I wanted to make art for the rest of my life. And so all of a sudden I was like, the only way to make art for the rest of my life is to make money while making art for the rest of my life.
Yep.
So that ends up being a career. And along the way, I just, figured I'd learn some business and run it as a business, mm-hmm. my career, and make money. Why not? You know?
So have you ever been accused of being a sellout?
From day one.
Yeah. Who's accused you of being a sellout? Name names.
I mean, people, obviously other graffiti writers, most of them behind my back.
Right.
You know, no one was telling me to my face that I was a sellout. But, you know, I knew that.
And this was in recent years or years gone by?
Oh, not recent, because now everybody and their mother wants to be sponsored by Coke now. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, everyone wants to.
Right.
You know,
eventually they learned that you were,
ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about late 80s,
okay.
Early 90s. And I started doing projects with all kinds of brands. Probably my largest, the largest brand that I started working with was Coca-Cola. So
the real thing.
And I was doing like 15 murals every summer for this high school art program that they were sponsoring. So I'd get all this calls and just people talking shit in the background, you know, like, oh, you're a sellout and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you're doing murals for Coca-Cola. And I'm like, yeah, but you're working at 7-Eleven and you think you're a good artist. So, you know, I'm actually painting and getting paid.
Yeah.
You know, and what I also did with that project actually was, while I was doing the murals for Coca-Cola around the city, all over the city, that was my way in to also meet the property owners of these buildings that I was painting. Mm-hmm. So I would do a small 8-foot by 10-foot Coke mural, but then they'd have a 100-foot wall next to it.
Right.
And they'd let me, you know, because of Coke's blessing, the store owner would say, yeah, go for it. You could have the wall, do whatever you want. So then I would do a burner, I would do a production, I would do a mural right next to these Coke murals. So now I had Coke murals all over the city, but I also had walls. And in LA, walls are currency, you know? And as you know, advertising runs the world here in LA. And so I was getting these giant 100-foot walls, not McDonald's or not anyone else. You know, it was me. It was a man one wall, brought to you by Coca-Cola next to it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that created a lot of sellout. You know, I guess people
hype
and people were like
haters.
Oh, a lot of haters.
Haters.
Of
so haters. Yeah. So now, of course, years later, people. You know, people ask you, you know,
right,
what are your secrets, what to do, you know, when it comes to business problems.
Right.
I understand some people emailed you when they heard about the podcast. They wanted to ask you some questions about the business of art.
Or as my friend Overton Lloyd, our friend Overton Lloyd, likes to say.
Oh,
shout out to Overton Lloyd.
What up,
P-Funk.
Dude, we miss you, bro.
You know, the business of business.
The business of business.
Forget
the art of business.
Yeah, is that the art of business or the business of art? It's the business of business. And, you know, I mean, that's, I didn't go to school for business. I wish there would have been business classes offered.
Isn't that a trip? I mean, art schools and design schools do not teach business to these artists. What a missed opportunity. I mean, maybe that's changing a little bit.
Well, anyway. I think it's up to the artist. It's up to the student to want to study business, you know?
Right.
I think...
well, look, there's studying business, but then there's understanding how your industry runs.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And
totally.
At the very least, these art schools and design schools should be teaching their students how the design industry is, how the art industry runs.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
They don't do that.
They don't do that because the art world is shady. The art world is shady as fuck. So I honestly think that art schools want to take the money from their students, you know, and fill their pockets and then let the artists off into, you know, fairy tale land to be an artist. And at the end of the day, if the artist makes it, he makes it. If he doesn't make it, oh well, you know?
Well, but you just said it. You said the art industry is shady as fuck. Okay, so let's think about that for a second, right?
Yeah.
So the industry has no incentive to educate its primary driver of value.
Right.
Because as soon as the artists get hip and understand how the game is played, then they can't be taken advantage of anymore.
Exactly.
And that's it. Artists are exploited all the time.
So that's why I think sometimes, is it by design that there is no business classes in art school?
Right.
You know, because maybe they want to keep you dumb. They want to keep you in the dark so that
there's no upside in it for them.
Yeah. You know, it's like, you know, so I think because of that, when someone does figure out, you know, how to make money, people start asking. And, you know, I mean, that happens to me all the time. It's people see what I'm doing and what I'm up to, and the little success I've had, and they're like, hey, you know, share some of that knowledge. And I'm down. You
know? So what's Overton asking?
Overton, what did Overton ask?
And I thought Overton knew it all already. Like, he's playing us right now.
Yeah, yeah, Overton's got it made, you know. But he said, can you tell the awesome story of how you developed your unique style? He doesn't want to know about the business of business. No,
because he knows about the business.
Yeah, he knows about the business.
Yeah, so he just, he wants to know more about Man One.
Nah, he can call me in his office. You know?
Nice try, O.
Yeah, next time, O. But, you know, someone did ask me, so what I've been doing on my Facebook posts the last couple of years is I'll drop some, just share some things that are going on with me. So, for example, if a client, you know, pisses me off for some reason, I might drop a gem or some kind of statement about, you know, things that artists should look out for, you know? So I was calling
them. Did you just suggest that there are problem clients?
Oh, once in a while you have a problem client.
I think we have a helicopter, another problem,
we're going to have
problem client flying over.
Every day.
Ghetto birds.
Well, I call them artist red flags. Okay. And so these are when you're talking to a client and then they ask you something that you just have to know it's a red flag.
Yeah.
You know, like there's tons of these. And and every time I put one up.
Give me a zinger.
Every time I put one up, 10 people will reply with their own version of it.
Right.
Or a different one, you know.
Right.
And it's endless. I mean, I can go through my emails every day from clients and give you different ones, you know. So the, you know, obviously the there's so many that start off with, you know, you get great exposure, right? So we don't have a big budget, you know, we're a small company, or we're a nonprofit. And that's a good one.
Right.
You know, because if they're a nonprofit, then you're supposed to, like, do it for free.
You're a nonprofit, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, the NFL's a nonprofit. You know that? So.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So if the NFL called me and told me, oh, we're a nonprofit, you know, go screw yourself, you know? So there's a whole way of the way people talk, clients talk when they don't want to pay for shit.
Right. Exposure bucks. They want to pay you with exposure.
Yeah, they want to pay you with exposure. They want to give you like, for example, you know, go ahead and give us like 3 sketches, and if we like it, we'll commission you.
Right.
It's like, what the fuck? Then what the fuck is drawing? Is drawing not work? You know. It's like,
well, that's, to me, that is literally one of the most ignorant, offensive questions,
right,
that a client can ask an artist, right? Right? So I had a situation not too long ago where a very large entertainment studio here in the City of Angels.
Yeah.
I won't name them, but I will say that their name starts with U and ends with L. And they literally asked, requested that we go out and ask 7 artists,
right,
for 7 concept sketches,
right,
to produce. They would pick one,
right, sure,
and that artist would be able to paint this wall, this one wall on the on this floor in the building, and the budget,
mm-hmm,
for all of that work, including the mural and the materials, all in,
right,
$10,000.
Sure.
I didn't even respond.
Yeah.
And then they had that a couple days later. They're like, did you get our offer?
Right.
Is everything okay? I'm like, we're passing. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, it happens all the time. And it happens, especially with the larger the company, it feels like sometimes the more they want to rip you off, you know?
Sure. Well, because they're doing you the favor.
They're doing you the favor. They know they have the leverage.
Yeah.
They know that there's so many artists out there who are hungry.
Right.
And, you know, and guess what? I've been burned so many times by companies like that.
Sure.
And I'll bust my ass, you know, 20 hours of work to get a final design to them.
Yeah.
And then they don't even reply. They don't even have the common decency to reply and say, right, we're passing. Yeah. We're not going
to
use your sketch.
I'd have more respect for them if they told me to fuck off to my face,
yeah,
than if they did that.
Yeah, yeah. But that's happened to me. I've done that because it was, so-and-so big company. And like, oh, my God, wouldn't it be awesome if that company, global company, hired me to do, you know, whatever. And then after you do it, you feel like a chump because you're like, man, these guys were talking like they're my best friends.
Right.
And I can't even get an email reply back to confirm that they got the sketch, yeah, you know. And then you realize they're doing it to like 20 other artists at the same time,
right,
as they're doing it to you.
Right.
So you're not special. You know, you're to them, you're just a number. You're just something to, you know, just they don't give a shit is the bottom line.
Well, the problem, of course, is that there are artists that will say yes to that.
Oh, absolutely. That's the problem.
So what artists don't realize, or any profession for that matter, you devalue,
right,
your talent,
yeah,
it's a troubling thing, you know.
Just so people can understand, you know, artists, there's artists out there listening, hopefully maybe three of them, and they're in different,
not real artists
are listening, but you know, there's different levels, right? There might be artists who are just doing it for a hobby right now, who would love to make money at it, but just don't know how to get in. There are others who just started and they're trying to figure out their way through it and not sure how to price things. And then there's other people who probably have done it before and are comfortable with what they're charging. You know, probably other scenarios, but let's just take those three for instance. So in real life, right? Real life numbers, this project you're talking about, you know, how much do you charge for a sketch? People ask me that all the time. What do you charge for a sketch? And I say, it depends. It depends on a number of things. I can't give you a flat fee because sometimes a black and white thumbnail sketch is enough. Other times it needs to be highly rendered, illustrated, vectored, mm-hmm, sketch, you know, because that's what the client needs to see. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to charge the same for a 1 hour set of thumbnails as I will for, you know, a 25-hour, you know, final design. But I'm also not going to not charge,
right,
for something that takes me an hour.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
And so what does a sketch cost? Well, you know, I usually tell people, find your number and start there. Whatever the number is. You could say $300 a sketch.
Right.
You know? You could say $500. You could say $2,500. You know? I mean, honestly, right now, when I sketch stuff for people, I start at $2,500. You know, that's where I just start, like, and it goes up from there.
Right.
And that's not including the final art. That's not including anything else. It's just like, if you want me to put my pencil to a piece of paper, mm-hmm, this is what it's going to cost. So if you say you want seven artists, right, to do sketches, let's just say we give each artist, you know, in this scenario, let's say you gave each artist $1,000, right? That's nice. You know, an artist gets $1,000 to do a concept sketch. Okay, cool. Well, that's already $7,000 if you want seven artists.
Right.
So now you have $3,000 more for the final piece of art, and it includes the materials.
Right.
And that's the reality that people don't understand.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I, you know, my take on it is that to me, the sketch is as important, if not more important, than the actual mural.
Right.
Right. Because that's where the heavy lifting is. The artist still has to sit down and use their brain. You're hiring the artist for their brain,
right?
For their mind, for their vision, for what they can see and you can't.
Right.
And then the artist is going to sit down and he or she is going to craft that vision on a piece of paper or computer or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that vision is going to be painted on a wall.
Right.
So if the budget's $50,000, I think, you know, there's a good argument to make where the sketch is $25,000, mm-hmm, and the mural is $25,000, not including materials,
right,
of course. You know,
yeah.
Because, I mean, people need to understand, in terms of the creative process, the sketch is where the thinking is.
Right.
You know, the initial thinking. And I call it heavy lifting, you know. It's what artists are meant to do.
Right. And, I mean, in terms of one of my artist tips that I've learned over the years, that's what I do now. My sketches are always included as part of the whole.
Yeah.
So in other words, I give the client a price, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
This is the price, X amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
That includes one sketch, one revision, you know, or two revisions, depending on what the client is looking for. But I'll say, you know, it includes a sketch, some revisions, it includes my materials, it includes my time, it includes everything, all in X amount of dollars.
Right.
And I need 50% up front to start drawing.
Right.
Because that's going to your point. Yeah. That's the only way. Because if I told the client, I'm going to do sketches, but you owe me half, they'd be like, you're crazy. You know, they don't want, they can't see beyond that, yeah. You know? But if you break it down as the, this is the whole thing, you're right. Getting everything for this budget.
Right.
I need 50% to start. Then they can kind of understand it, because then they're like, okay, cool. Well, that includes the materials and okay, good. And then now they're on the hook
right.
for the rest of the money right. because no company is going to give you 50% and then walk away from you.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to want the
See, job I done. Want, what I want
yeah.
is artists to rise up.
Yeah.
And stop the madness, you know, because I mean, at the end of the day, what people need to realize about artists is that yeah. artists are magicians, yeah. real life magicians, you know, they pull rabbits out of their hat.
Right.
They create something out of nothing.
Right.
And that is a very rare ability.
Well, and not only that, on top of that, when you're doing client work, right, now you're problem solving as well. Because
well, exactly.
now yeah. they have a problem,
right.
and their problem is they don't know what the hell should go on this wall in an office or how to market to these kids or these people or whatever. And you come in as the authority because you're, right. you have this art form that speaks to those people. But more importantly, you have the solution for their problem.
Right.
And so they're hiring you to solve this problem. And going back to the sketch idea, that's where you solve the problem. It's in the sketching.
That's right. That's
By the
right.
time you paint it, you've already resolved it.
Mm-hmm.
You're just doing the,
right.
you're just putting the icing on the cake.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I mean, you know, my other thought here is that if it's not a problem solving
right.
scenario
yeah.
and the so-called client wants the artist to create their art on that wall,
mm-hmm.
like I feel like that scenario in some ways should be less money
mm-hmm.
because if the artist has complete freedom to do whatever that artist he or she wants to do.
Yeah.
Like the theory is that that's going to be a lot easier. Right.
Right.
For the artist, you know,
yeah.
I'm not saying that the artist shouldn't still make a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying from a time, energy output kind of perspective,
right.
The artist can just rock that wall. Right.
Right.
So, you know, I'm not saying it's a huge discount, but I'm just saying, like, the client needs to understand.
Yeah.
Right? That problem-solving bit has yeah. a premium to it.
Sure.
And, I mean, it's a good question for you as an artist. Like, what about that? I mean, obviously, you need to be paid as an artist the most that yeah. you can actually be paid.
Right.
But when that client isn't giving you the freedom to do what it is you want to do, and they're asking you to solve a problem for them and do something that they want...
Right.
Are you going to charge more for that or less for that?
Right.
Is my question.
Well, here's another artist tip. You know, you can always charge an asshole tax. You know? And a lot of times when I'm doing sketches and I already know the client is going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm going to charge you probably more than I would
right.
if it was just my own artwork. Or you know, whatever, or on a similar project for another client, because you know you're going to be a pain in my ass.
Yeah.
And I have to deal with you, and I have to get this done. And the only way I can wake up in the morning and work on this project is if you pay me well. You know. To your other point, in terms of like, you know, if the client gives you full freedom, obviously that's what artists love.
Right.
So. Any artist will tell you that if the client, if the patron, if the collector says, you know what, just do you, here's your wall, here's your canvas, you know, let me know when you're done. Dude, almost, I'd say 99% of the artists would be willing to do that for much less.
Sure.
Just because they're getting full freedom.
Right.
Just because they don't have to worry about the headache.
Yeah.
And also, guess what? They're going to do a better job.
Right.
Because it's like they get to do what they love, you know? And so, and it's funny because, like, some of my friends in Europe, right, we've talked about this in the past. And so, like, for example, my boy Dime from Germany. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dime.
Dime.
One time we were talking about how, you know, how much money we make here on walls. And he was saying in Germany, you can't really charge that much to do walls. But we were saying, yeah, but look at the walls you guys get to paint in Germany. Mm-hmm. You guys get like, you guys get treated like artists. Like, you know, sure, I can do a big wall for Nike, but Nike is going to fucking, you know, ask me for 10 million revisions. And at the end of the day, it's not going to be a full man one piece. There's going to be some kind of Nike
right.
connection to it.
Watered down.
It's going to be some yeah. watered down version of what I do.
Yeah.
And sure, I'll make good money, but check it out. You're in Germany and they just let you do what you do. And so it's like this, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, is the grass greener on the other side of the wall kind of thing, you know? But as far as artists go, I think the more freedom you give artists, I think that's the better the work will be, the better of a atmosphere you're going to have, you know, when you're dealing with artists.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One of the cool things about this podcast experiment that we are embarking upon is that people are going to have a chance to write in and submit questions and problems for us to chop it up,
yep.
you know, and sort of talk about it. Maybe we can help a few along the way. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, don't be a chump.
Right.
Don't be a fucking chump.
Right.
You know, like that's, don't be taken advantage of. Like that's what we're saying. Like right. these fuckers are taking advantage of, they are exploiting you.
Right. Totally.
And you have something that no one else in the world
right.
can give them. Exactly like you do as that artist. Right. And, you know, the problem is artists need to like lock arms and be a unified front, which, you know, as we know, good luck with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hard part is that artists have their own way of thinking. Each artist is different.
Yeah.
Each artist's motives are different. Each artist's ethics are different. And on and on and on. So getting all the artists on the same page mm-hmm. is a really tough thing.
Well, at least if you're like, if you're a physician or a doctor, right, you right. take the Hippocratic Oath
yeah.
to do no harm,
right?
Right. Like artists need to take an oath, right?
Good luck.
Right? Take an oath
yeah.
to swear by a certain set of values that yeah. in ethics that artists have to uphold.
Well, I can't tell you how many times in my career that I've been offered a gig and then someone called me back and said, never mind, we found someone who's going to do it for free. Not for less than you, free. Not for half, for free. So as long as you have artists out there willing to do shit for free, this whole experiment is never going to work.
Is it slavery when people offer it up? Free labor?
I don't know. It's just, I think it's insulting, you know? It's demeaning.
At the very least.
You know? And the problem is so many artists have issues with their self-worth, obviously. They have issues about... you know, just where they are on the totem pole.
Yeah.
And they think that if they do something for free, they're going to get their foot in the door.
Right.
And then next time, you know, they're going to make the big money.
Sure.
Right. Here's another artist tip.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Well, you know who also gives you something free.
Yeah.
Is the crack dealer on the playground.
That's right.
You know? That's how they get you hooked.
Yeah. The first one's free, you know, but what happens in my artist tip is that, you know, if you do it for free this time, when the company has money, they're going to hire the artist they originally wanted to hire that they couldn't afford. They're not going to hire you again.
Truth.
Because now they have money. Why are they going to hire you? You do it for free.
That's right.
You know, they want to, they want to get the guy that they couldn't afford the first time. So it never works. So giving something for nothing never works in art, you know?
You know, Missy Elliott has the this line in one of her tunes talking about, you know, girls that strip, and I think the line is something about, you know, don't be ashamed, just be ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you got to do. Don't be ashamed. Just be ahead of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the point.
Yeah.
Right? Be ahead of the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't get exploited. Don't, you know, you run the shit.
Right.
You know, don't get run over, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we're out of time.
Yeah.
We'll solve more problems later.
We'll do it next time.
All right.
Peace.
Peace.